This is Mae Brussel. The title of my program is World Watchers. Before I begin the program, I want to say the views expressed here are those of myself and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kazoo staff or board of directors. We want to thank Coast Components at 684-1185, Monterey Bay Area's distributor of electronic components. Thank you for the underwriting grant that helps bring you the following hour of World Watchers. The following hour of World Watchers is also made possible in part by Lowdown, a leading manufacturer of microcomputer peripherals located in Scotts Valley. For more information, call 438-7400. This is broadcast number 834, November the 30th, 1987. This week and next week, December the 6th, I will do what they refer to in some of the investigations as hard-hitting. I'll be talking some more about the dirty stuff, the Waffen-SS, the child abuse, the children sacrifice, the adult sacrifices, the rituals of the satanic cult that go right up through the Pentagon, the Defense Department, and the Justice Department, and linking to very, very high up in the military. And then because it is so revolting, I will go on the easy stuff, the stuff prior to the Satan, Heinrich Himmler castle, rituals done with people in the Pentagon, such as Michael Aquino. So December 13th, 21st, and 28th, we'll have what I call the normal news that may be hard for people anyway, but I call it the regular news, and I will not put you through this through Christmas. We'll cut back a little because it's pretty heavy stuff. Just a couple of items before I get to Michael Aquino and continue with that. For those who haven't listened steadily, last week I did a program on Judge Ginsburg, Douglas Ginsburg, and my belief that he was an agent provocateur that worked with the intelligence community. And 2 weeks, a week before that, and then the third week, 3 weeks ago, and 2 weeks ago, I talked about the child abuse, the Church of Satan, Michael Aquino, and the Pentagon, and Heinrich Himmler's castle. And I'm going back into that again this evening with you and continue with an update of that news and do this for the next couple of weeks. Before I get to that, I just want to mention there was an article in the newspaper suggesting that Pope John Paul II may intervene to win the release of prisoner Sirhan Sirhan. According to an East Jerusalem newspaper, they said that senior Vatican officials are seriously considering a request from Arab Americans that the Pope press United States authorities to release the man who murdered Robert Kennedy in 1968 in the Ambassador Hotel. While I don't believe that Sirhan murdered Robert Kennedy, that there was a second gun there, it is a symbol of wiping out our electoral process by the bullet. When Robert Kennedy won the Democratic primary that evening, he was killed. Sirhan might have been the patsy, but he's the symbol. And the Pope is interfering, of course, in the American political system and the electoral policies because he has not recognized Israel as a country, and he wants to help the Arab Americans to release Sirhan, who wiped out our choices of an election in 1968 that made the way clear for Richard Nixon and then Ronald Reagan. A very funny article and pathetic. Many of you saw in the newspapers, titled Mrs. Meese Tried to Help a Tax Cheat. She sends a letter to the judge and praises the particular defendant that she wanted out. It was a friend of her children's. This is Edwin Meese, who went and fought the law and order tooth and nail as a cover for being hard on criminals when he wanted to be in political office. And now as attorney general, it doesn't matter if you cheat the government out of taxes, which we badly need. Another article out of the Washington Post, November the 8th, 1987. Judge Bork's critic had his phone tapped at Harvard. And the article says an unauthorized wiretap was found in the office telephone of Harvard professor, Professor Lawrence Tribe, who opposed the Bork nomination. It's outrageous, he said. Whoever did this obviously believes the end justifies the means. The telephone company checked out the phone. Daniel Steiner, the Harvard vice president and general counsel, told the Boston Globe that the telephone company officials, the university telecommunications department, and an outside consultant agreed that the tap would only have been placed to monitor his tribe's telephone calls. It had been placed there from 2 to 8 months. He was a consultant to Edward Kennedy and Joseph Biden in their efforts to defeat Bork's nomination. He testified for 3 hours during the hearings. He also was a counsel to Pennzoil in their $10.3 billion suit against Texaco, but that was handled a little while back. These are current wiretaps and probably had a lot to do with the selection or trying to push through both Judge Bork and later then Ginsburg, who was at Harvard also. So the taps on the telephone were put at Harvard on the one of the big heads of the law department, Professor Tribe, to see what plans he was cooking up to defeat these former students from Harvard who wanted to become justices on the Supreme Court. Another item, Alexander Haig said he would use nuclear arms if he had to. That was in the San Francisco Chronicle, November 16th. Of course, Haig is a protege of Fritz Kramer, Gustav Anton Kramer, the mentor of Kissinger and Haig. And of course, he would be glad to use the nuclear arms. Haig was one of the selected few who jumped over 243 officers to become the general that he is under the guidance of Fritz Kramer, the former plans officer of the Pentagon. Now, there are a lot of good books out. I'm just going to name the titles real quickly of some of the books because they're so rare that it won't be hard to get. But if you're giving Christmas gifts, you might think of these. Several weeks ago, I gave a suggestion of magazine subscriptions. And also, if you get gift money, things to give yourself that other people wouldn't think of, put it into books and subscriptions. I'll make the same offer that I did for the magazines. I suggested sending a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I would give you the name and address and cost of about 60 publications or 66 publications. And I have a sheet here. If you send a letter to me, Mae Brussel, P.O. Box 22311, Carmel 93922, or my home address is in the book. I'll give you the publisher, the cost, and the information on these particular books. One I've talked about before, Jonathan Quitney's Crimes of Patriots, The Tale of Dope, Dirty Money, and the CIA, which is about the Nugenhand Bank that I've done so many years of broadcasting with you. The other is a new book by Alex Coburn called Corruption of Empire. He's a great journalist, and he has what he calls 500 pages of radical journalism. It's his daughter-in-law who came out with a new book on the Iran-Contra affair, Out of Control. That's Leslie Coburn that has that book out. Another book is Armed and Dangerous, The Rise of the Survivalist Right, about Reverend Richard Butler and the Aryan Nations. Then Reagan's Reign of Terror, There He Goes Again. And this is a nostalgia collection, edition 695, on Ronald Reagan and his administration. Then the great cartoonist, Tom Tolles, some of you take a paper that has his cartoon, some don't. He has a book called Mr. Gazoo, A Cartoon History of the Reagan Era, and this would just be fabulous. And then there is a wonderful thing, which I'm sending for this week, called Ronald Reagan Countdown Calendar, January 1988 to January 89. And it comes from La Jolla, it's $9.95. And they advertise, celebrate the final 366 days of the 365, actually, of the 8-year reign of terror, the reign of image over substance, fantasy over fact, reaction over reason, greed over grace, and the simultaneous dismantling of the American traditions of honesty, fairness, justice, and peace. I have to get my Reagan countdown calendar. I just can't believe that this year is coming. This next year will finalize his administration. There's another book called Crisis in Central America, Regional Dynamics and U.S. Policy in the 80s, which is Ronald Reagan. Then another, The Dangerous Doctrine, National Security and U.S. Foreign Policy by Saul Landau, who is an excellent researcher. Then there's The Big Boys' Power, Position in American Business, Ralph Nader and William Taylor. And he does a lot of explosive work into Reagan administration, another book. And this looks good. Another book, Packaging the Contras, A Case of Disinformation by Edward Chamorro. A former Contra leader exposes the deep involvement of the CIA that created and managed the Contra leadership, the manipulation of the U.S. media and Congress and public opinion. Then another cartoonist has a collection of the Reagan era, Gary Trudeau. It's called Doonesbury. Catch up on your history. Cartoons of Star Wars, Nicaragua, Iran scam, Ronald Reagan's brain, and so forth. And Out of Control, the history of the Reagan administration, secret war in Nicaragua, the illegal arms pipeline, and the Contra drug connections by Leslie Coburn. In there, she mentions Barbara Honegger's work at the 1980 October surprise, the stealing of the election in 1980. And I've mentioned before on the air the Iran-Contra connection, secret teams and covert operations in the Reagan era by Jane Hunter, Jonathan Marshall, and Peter Dale Scott. All of them are wonderful researchers. Jonathan Marshall and Peter Dale, particularly Peter, well, Jonathan, too, have done extensive work through this whole era, and just not the Reagan administration. That's where they caught on to the crimes of Reagan following what preceded him and how he fit into them. That's South End Press, and Jane Hunter did her own book, Israeli Foreign Policy, South Africa, and Central America, and I have that. I have most of these, or a lot of them. I don't have the cartoons. And the last one I got recently was Vesco. It's called Vesco, From Wall Street to Castro's Cuba, The Rise and Fall and Exile of the King of White-Collar Crime, Big Money, High Living, Financial Trickery. There's only one page on page 135 that he mentions Willard Zucker. That's the banker that represented Robert Vesco, and that's the banker that set up Lake Resources, that did the investments for the National Security Council and for Stanford Technology Training Group with their offshore banks that are being protected. And then there is a book, not a new book, but it's new to me, and it's hard to get, but try to find. It's called Mind Wars, The True Story of Secret Government Research into the Military Potential of Psychic Weapons. And that book also mentions the research that Barbara Honegger was doing in the White House when she was working in the White House. Two of those books, of these books, mention her name. And this book has to do with the 1st Earth Battalion. And I believe this may be the link between Oliver North, the Delta Force, and Michael Aquino, and mind control coming out of Vietnam. The Church of Satan, Hitler's Waffen SS, could very easily connect, and this may be one of the big connecting links of those elements. And then the Iran-Contra report that I gave out last week with the address of the government printing office. So if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, I'll give you the titles, the publishers, and you can get these books for yourself or look forward to them. And I'll bet you everyone during this following year is going to have one birthday. So you can put that on your wish list if you are wise, because this is a wonderful collection to have. And we're going to feel the pains of the Reagan administration for years, so we may as well get some of these books and understand it. Now, several weeks ago, November the 9th, on broadcast 831, I gave the sources of a lot of articles where I had the summary of Michael Aquino in the San Francisco Church of Satan. And at the bottom of the list, there was an article, Satanist Accused of Molesting a Girl, Soldier Calls the Probe a Witch Hunt. That's really a play on words, going for a witch hunt, talking about the Church of Satan. And in the article, Linda Blood is one of the people quoted in the article, just all coincidental, that name or so forth and so forth. But I want to go into that article and some more about the Church of Satan tonight, this particular article and the details of what it means. It was written by Linda Goldstein for the San Jose Mercury, and this is the way she wrote it. I only extracted it for you, but I want it to sink in because it's going to be the groundwork for weeks of broadcast when the new year begins after this next week's broadcast. She says, he is a devil worshiper with a doctorate degree. He's an Eagle Scout turned Antichrist. And I emphasize the Eagle Scout because of other articles I'm going into of sexual abuse of other areas of Eagle Scouts. In the yellow pages, he's listed churches, Satan, Lieutenant Michael Aquino, a military officer with access to top secrets and a suspect in the bizarre case of child sexual abuse at Presidio in San Francisco. The controversy at the Presidio took place when as many as 60 children who attended the daycare center were allegedly molested. It took on vast proportions when the Army launched an all-out review. The Army has 300 daycare centers, and they have over 900,000 children every day. And on Sundays, they were molested while the parents were at church. This year alone, there have been 9 similar child abuse cases on military bases that they're reporting, and previous incidences reported at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point in New York, at Fort Dix, New Jersey, and at the Army Daycare Center in Germany. For Aquino, the controversy is personal and bitter. It's the only public black mark against him in two-decade military record with the Pentagon. It's extraordinary. Now, the woman in charge of police activities in San Francisco regarding the cult, and I'll go to her quote later, said that in 1983, they had evidence that Aquino should have been taken out of the Army, but the Army insisted on keeping him. So the black mark now is only one that comes because this little child recognized him in his home, identified the home and the interior. But he's gotten away with other complaints, and he also is being held, according to a news account last week, on possible child stealing. And that gets into those missing children again. The article says no charges so far have been administered against them. He performed satanic rituals at a Nazi castle, which I mentioned before, and I'm going back to that in one moment. His dark eyebrows arch upward. A short crop black hair comes to a prominent widow's peak. Aquino came to Satanism, he said, by accident. He had just finished his undergraduate work at the University of California in Santa Barbara when he happened to attend the premiere of Rosemary's Baby and was intrigued by the entourage of Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan and an advisor to the film. Now, he not only advised Roman Polanski on this film, but he worked with the Manson family up in the Haight-Ashbury. So there was a double whammo for Polanski after making this film. And it was also filmed in the Dakota building where John Lennon was shot. He lived in that building and scenes were filmed there and he was killed in front of that building. All that, I suppose you might think, is coincidental, but I don't know what is coincidental any longer. Now, here is the most important part of this particular article. Aquino left for Vietnam a few months later after being associated with Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan. He left for Vietnam a few months later, serving as a psychological warfare expert, and there he joined the Church of Satan, and he became a high priest. Now, the question is, how many Churches of Satan are there in the Defense Department? You may not believe in God, but how many are Antichrist? How many Antichrist worshipers of the devil are doing mind control, psychological warfare, working with the Delta Forces, the Marines, the special branches of the Army? And what was Maurice Aquino's psychological experience? Did it relate to Oliver North? Oliver North was running around naked with a gun. There were descriptions of his going totally berserk, that he took R&R, rest and recreation, at a mental hospital. There were documents in the NSC papers that they found where Admiral Poindexter of the Navy was suggesting to the National Security Advisor, Robert McFarlane, that we send him to Bethesda Hospital, a Navy hospital, for a while. He didn't have a fever. He didn't have a gallbladder. He didn't have a physical symptom. But Bethesda is where James Forrestal, the Secretary of the Navy, allegedly was suicidal or pushed out a window for very important reasons at the end of World War II. And what part of Bethesda was Poindexter going to send a man working for the NSC? Why did they keep him on the staff? And what happens at Bethesda? Because if you watched Ollie North's testimony, and I luckily videotaped the whole thing, the man had a stare and glassy eyes. He had to have assistance for recall. The minute a question was half asked, he whispered to Brendan Sullivan, his attorney. Then he looked down at a piece of paper where answers could be written or clues with numbers. And then he started talking. And once one of the members of the Congress asked him what he was reading, and he said, "That's private between me and my attorney." But the answers were coming there. And so the question is, with his past history of being in a mental place, being in the Delta Force, in the Special Forces, with Michael Aquino being over there specializing in this kind of activity, because there are other links of Richard Secord to the Odessa, to G. Gordon Liddy and Robert Mardian through their attorney, Mr. Green, watching SS pictures down in the archives of the Washington buildings where they would study the SS. And Michael Aquino was on television this past week, and they Police in San Francisco had taken some of his videotapes. He claimed they were mostly Carl Sagan space, but in there you see an eye photograph, the Waffen SS, among just one among his belongings. The place was filled with swastikas and Nazis, and the news accounts told about the Nazi uniforms. But he went into psychological warfare as expert and joined the Church of Satan. And the question for the armed forces, for the House Armed Services Committee, is how many people joined the Church of Satan? David Berkowitz of Son of Sam case that links to the Manson family went to Vietnam. He served his time. He was a Jew. He was adopted by a Jewish family. He was converted there into becoming a Christian, but he went into Satanism, and the Son of Sam killings were a part of satanic ritual in New York City, these so-called random killings, killing women sitting in cars or on dates and so forth. And how many people coming home from Vietnam are doing these killings that don't appear to be related to a larger plan? I brought in this evening, and maybe I won't have time till next week, on how many people around the country, just pulling out of my articles the past week, where the arms and legs are sawed off, they're being beheaded, they're being tortured with paper between their toes, and the paper set on fire, and the tortures that are going on that I put under, I'm separating the files, I'm putting them under a cult now, but I don't even remember what classification they were thrown in with, just people who had died. And now I'm separating them, and we'll share some of those with you. Now, this article says in 1975, LaVey broke off, he separated from Aquino, or Aquino left him, and he started his own church, a private organization that has internal revenue status. The internal revenue gives him his tax deduction. The article says he has an IQ of 155, and many people from Mensa, those are the group with a high IQ, in search of knowledge, wherever the truth may be, are part of his organization, the Church of Satan. Members of the House Armed Services Committee and officials who oversee America's intelligence operations will not discuss Aquino's case. The police have refused to eliminate his name as a suspect. The Army stands by him and his access to top security secrets. Aquino works as a program analyst at the Army Reserve Personnel Center in St. Louis, handing all personal letters for the personal matters for the reserves. Now, some of this we had on the air 2 weeks ago, but here's a point that is I want to bring home. If I didn't do it then, I might even want to do it every week. In 1981, he was a reserve attaché to the Defense Intelligence Agency, and a year later, a student at the Foreign Service Institute, sponsored by the State Department. 1981. Daniel Graham, the head of Star Wars High Frontier, was the head in this time period, I have to look up the exact dates, of the Defense Intelligence Agency. There was a group that I described, Peregrine, that was important to John Singlaub and Robert Owen and to the death squads. Remember the broadcast I did where their matters were too important to leave to the service, that they hired people who had already killed, who showed their bona fides that did the killing. Peregrine's head, Mr. Meadows, and the two chiefs came out of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and they went on to hire the Keeney Meanies over in London to help with the death squads down in Central America and to fight along with the Contras. The Defense Intelligence Agency was run, and I'm sure once he retired from there, it wasn't very hard to go back with the old people. You were the chief of it. Daniel Graham shares offices with Fritz Kramer in Washington, D.C. I've had their address on the air. I've asked many, many times for the past years, who is Gustav Anton Fritz Kramer? And the question has been asked over and over again, even to members of the General Accounting Office coming to California. Is he the Waffen SS Fritz Kramer that was Hitler's plans officer? Because he was Hitler's favorite after the war, and Senator Joe McCarthy released that Waffen SS Fritz Kramer, Hitler's favorite. There was no history after the war, but as soon as he was out of Dachau prison, the other Fritz Kramer became head of the Pentagon. He was over Westmoreland in the entire Vietnam War, and he vees the Waffen SS. Then he set up the Church of Satan in Vietnam. This Aquino says it was set up in the psychological warfare. He joined the Church of Satan in Vietnam. He was a high priest in Vietnam. And with his services at the home and the offices, the church of Heinrich Himmler, it is actually mandatory that we fingerprint or somebody take this Fritz Kramer before he dies and match it to the fingerprints. I have those copy of fingerprints, whatever they're worth, as a prisoner at Dachau prison, because those would be connections of Vietnam to the Church of Satan and Heinrich Himmler. And this article tells how Aquino worked in the Defense Intelligence Agency, which Peregrine was set up in 1981, and he was over in that exact office, and these were the killing teams that were set up to go around the world and were linked to Sing Laub and Robert Owen and to the October 80 surprise with General Secord over in Iran at the time that the rescue mission was bundled, and they didn't rescue the hostages to assure Reagan's becoming the president. This article says throughout his army career, Aquino made no secret of his involvement with Satanism. A forthrightness the army lauded him for. He's better for a security risk because he can't be blackmailed. He doesn't have anything to hide. He's a priest in the church. And the military major Rickson said that he makes no bones about his Satanism. There's no pressure put on him and no comment about his access to top security clearances. Last year, he was at the National Defense University, and Aquino says that's as high as you can get. And in 1982, and I shared this with you before, it's very pertinent to this story. Again, he performed satanic rituals in Westphalian Castle, used as an occult sanctuary by Heinrich Himmler's SS elite in Nazi Germany. The Temple of Set has a newsletter where he told of performing the satanic rituals in the castle Hall of the Dead while on a tour of NATO military installations in Europe. And this week or next week, I'm going to give an example of how the Justice Department is protecting satanic killers in down in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and has a man in jail for 3 life terms and a woman who participated in the satanic murders not only can't be heard, but the highest of the FBI chiefs in Dallas, and he was in Los Angeles and Memphis, retired and helped investigate that case of the killings in Fort Bragg, and his life is in danger, and this FBI agent has been hiding ever since because the Justice Department is protecting the satanic killers and the operations of Satan and not going after the killers, letting somebody else serve time and letting them get the taste and the smell of blood. That involves an ex-FBI agent by the name of Ted Gurdonson, who was helping this Mr. McDonald, Dr. McDonald. You might remember the case where he told about these occult people coming in and chopping his pregnant wife up, pregnant again, like Sharon Tate, his 2 daughters. Jeffrey McDonald has 3 life sentences, and I'll do more details on that case, but the FBI man's life hasn't been safe since the Justice Department found out that he knew somebody who had attended the ritual murder of his wife and children. So you have 2 agencies, the justice and the military, protecting and carrying this on, and it may go right up to the plans officer, the mentor of Kissinger and Haig, Fritz Kramer, who set up the operations in Vietnam. I'll take a 1-minute break now.